All right, Brother Joe Reyes from South Haven, Mississippi. Tonight his topic is, are you prepared to meet your God? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. All right, Brother Joe, we wait to hear from you.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. I would like to, first of all, express my sincere gratitude to Brother Tommy Brooks for the invitation to be once again on the program this evening. What a wonderful opportunity to once again study God's Word together. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. God bless you. And most of all, we thank our loving Heavenly Father for this wonderful opportunity He's afforded us to study His blessed Word together. And we pray, as Brother Tommy has just prayed, that as a result of our being together studying God's Word, that souls will be saved and God's name magnified. So I want to ask the question again that Brother Tommy just asked relating to the message that we want to study together. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet your God? I once heard the story of a businessman. And he had the annual practice of going to his financial advisor, and he would do this every year. And he would tell him, I died last night. What happened to my family, my business, my estate? And I really think what that man was doing was a good practice, because he, by talking to one that was well informed in matters of financial concern, could give him some good financial advice and instruct him as to whether he had been conducting and handling his business affairs properly or not. But I want to suggest to you this evening that if that man had died the night before, I could be pretty sure of this one fact, that he would not have been concerned about his estate, his business, or even the financial state of his family. But instead, I guarantee you that he would be concerned about his own soul and where his soul was going to live throughout all of eternity. And that's what we should be concerned about this evening. You recall in Acts chapter 7, Stephen was preaching the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, and the unbelieving Jews could not stand to hear the truth preached. And so they began to stone him. This is related in Acts 7, beginning with verse 54 down to verse 60. And as Stephen knew that he was soon going to die, as Stephen, so to speak, stood between two worlds and looking toward the eternity to where he was about to go, Stephen looked toward God and he was allowed to see the glory of the Lord. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit in verse 59. And he prayed on that occasion for God to forgive those individuals who were stoning him to death. Verse 60. Now suppose, mind you, that you had stood in Stephen's shoes. Suppose that you had died last night. What will your concern be? Well, Stephen's concern was about the welfare of those that were stoning him. Right before he died, he's praying for them. Stephen evidently was not concerned about his own welfare. You know why? Because he knew, as the Apostle Paul would years later, that he had fought the good fight. He had finished the course and he had kept the faith. Oh, I think it's a marvelous thing for a person to have lived in this life in such a way that when the time comes, when his number is up, as we say, when the time comes for him to leave this life and go to eternity, that he's not fearful nor afraid. But instead, he can approach the hour of death even as Stephen did, because of his faithfulness to the Lord and the hope of heaven. And so I would like for us, in the few moments that we're together this evening, to think about this one basic fact. How do I stand in the sight of God right now? We say it this way sometimes. Are your books balanced? What if God should call you home this very day? Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet your God? Don't think it's an impossibility, because you do not have a lease on life. You don't have a guarantee on life. I've never found a person yet that had a lease on life. Have you? Oh, I've met a lot of folks that lived as if they had a lease on life, but I've never found anyone who actually had one. I've never found someone that would pull out of his billfold a lease on life that he was guaranteed even this day. No, you're not guaranteed you'll ever see tomorrow. James says in James 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, your life is but a vapor. Your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. Why, every time you step out into the street, there's that possibility of stepping out into eternity. Every time you get behind the wheel of an automobile and travel down the highway, there's a chance that you may never see your loved ones again. There's so many teenagers that get in automobile accidents every year and lose their life. Every time you pillow your head at night, there is that great possibility that you may never rise to see another day. Friend, you do not have a lease on life. Please, please learn that early in life. So what I would like to do this evening, what I would like to ask you once again is, are you prepared to meet your God? If you had died last night, and this is how I'm going to approach this lesson this evening. If you had died last night, I believe here's one thing that you would be concerned about. Did I obey the gospel? Did I obey the gospel? I'm sure that there's individuals this evening under the sound of my voice that have heard the gospel preached. But there may be some that have never have heard a gospel sermon. But if you have, perhaps you still have not obeyed the gospel. Perhaps you've heard sermons, many sermons. Sermons on you're lost unless you obey the gospel. You're lost unless you're in Christ. You're lost unless you're in the Lord's church. You see, you get into Christ the same way you get into the Lord's church. And we're going to learn that this evening. We're going to learn how you can be saved. I want you to know something this evening. We love you. I want you to know something else, that God loves you. And He wants more than anything else in this world that you would come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. We want you to become a Christian, a child of God. So I put that for you to consider. You died last night. Did I obey the gospel? Brother Tommy, I know you're listening, and I'm sure there may be other preachers, gospel preachers, that are listening. And I'm sure that among preachers, there's some that have stood by the bedside of dying men and women. And perhaps you have heard them plead, hear the innermost groaning of the heart and soul beg for one more opportunity to obey their Savior. But the opportunity was God. The door of mercy that once stood ajar was now closed. And there was no chance at all for them to become a Christian. Let me tell you a story, a true story, about an individual that had been taught the truth. Oh, he'd been taught well. He knew what the gospel was. He knew it well. And the minister even went by regularly and did some follow-up work because that individual hadn't obeyed the gospel. But somehow the minister wasn't able to bring forth any fruit. And then that individual had a stroke. They rushed him to the hospital. The family was called in from all over the country because the doctor said he's not going to make it. And the minister was standing right there by his bedside. And the man said, "Brother so-and-so, will you pray for me?" The preacher asked him, "What would you like for me to pray for?" He said, "I'd like for you to pray that God will let me die easily." The minister did. When the prayer was over, the man said, I know you can't pray for me to be saved, can you?" The preacher said, No, I can't. Not in the situation that you're in." And then he said, Do you have any comforting words for me? And the minister, he said to him, I'm sorry, but I don't have any comforting words for you. I can't think of one comforting word for a person who's known the truth and refused to obey it. And the preacher, he saw that man beg. He saw that man beg until his body was just in a spasm. Beg for God to let him live so that he could obey the gospel. But God didn't let him live. And I think of the passage in Proverbs 1 and verse 24. You who have rejected me, rejected my counsel and wanted none of my reproof, when your fear and your calamity cometh, then will I laugh. You shall call for me and seek me, but I shall mock you when your fear cometh. That's what God said in this passage in Proverbs 1 and verse 24. Please, don't put off obeying the gospel. Don't put off what you know you need to do. Don't let your heart get hardened so that you don't obey the gospel when you know the truth. One day, if you continue to do this, and you continue to reject the Lord, one day, you mark my word, one day you will long and beg for an opportunity to become a child of God, to obey the gospel. So I want to ask you, have you obeyed the gospel? And don't forget, you died last night. And I want you to be concerned about that. What do I mean when I say obey the gospel? In Romans 10 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul stated the fact that they had not all obeyed the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, Paul said that those who have not known God nor obeyed the gospel will receive vengeance from the Lord. Listen, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. That's what's going to happen to individuals that do not obey the gospel. And perhaps you're thinking right now, well, I don't want that to happen to me. And you ask the question, what is the gospel? And how do I obey the gospel? I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our lesson text, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, or saved by the gospel, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Listen carefully. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Let me read it again. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ, what? Number one, died for our sins according to the scriptures. Number two, that he was buried. And number three, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You see, the gospel is the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you say, now I understand what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. But how do I obey? How do I obey the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord? I want you to turn in your Bibles, your own Bibles, to Romans chapter 6. And I want us to read two verses together found in verses 17 and 18. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart Now listen carefully. That form of doctrine, that form of the gospel which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When were you made free from sin? When you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that form of the gospel which was delivered to you. What form of doctrine? What form of the gospel? Back up just a little bit in Romans chapter 6, and let's read verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not, don't you know, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ," watch it, "were baptized into his death." Paul says we're baptized into his death. Verse 4. "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." Now watch this. "Now that like as Christ was," what? "Raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So when you're baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're obeying the gospel. But the gospel, you see, has commands that must be obeyed. The command of faith, Romans 10:17, says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So one must hear in order to develop that faith. You must hear the word. And upon you hearing it, it's going to produce faith. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe in his word. John 8:24, our Lord said, "Except you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins." But the gospel also has the command of repentance. In Acts 17:30, it says God commands all men everywhere to repent. And Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "Except a man repent, he shall all likewise perish." But the gospel also has the command of confession. You remember in Romans chapter 10, where we had just read a little while ago in Romans, but in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, in the direction of salvation. You're not there yet, but you're getting closer when you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the gospel has the command of baptism for the remission of sins. In Acts 2:38, the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, told all those individuals that had gathered together there to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. He told them what they must do to be saved. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Now watch it. For, in order to, the remission of sins. In order for you to have your remission of your sins, to have forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul told, or Ananias, rather, told Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And so we must obey the gospel. The gospel is the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess our faith in him, and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And then the Lord will add you to his church, the one that you read about in the Bible, the one that he purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28. You'll be a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. And heaven will be your home if you remain faithful. But we're not talking about obeying any gospel now. The Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6 down to verse 9, that they were those that were troubling the church and were perverting the gospel. They were changing the gospel. Friends, some have changed the gospel and teach that once that one is saved by faith only. The Bible doesn't teach you're saved by faith only. The Bible teaches all that one begins with that foundation of faith. In fact, James tells us that we're not saved by faith only in James chapter 2. Others teach that you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. Again, the Bible doesn't teach that. That's a perverted gospel. You recall in Acts 19, there were those that had been taught wrong by Apollos, and they were baptized wrong under a baptism that was no longer in effect. And they had to be baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. When one is baptized biblically, he's baptized for the remission of sins into the one body, the one church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, which is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. So before one is baptized, he has to have a clear understanding of the purpose of baptism, and also that the Lord will add you to his church. Friends, you cannot be taught wrong and baptized right. And if you have not yet obeyed the pure gospel, then, my friend, you're still lost. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Listen to these words. Taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't want to be found in that condition. In Hebrews 10:31, it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 says that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. And in Matthew 7, 21, it says that not everyone, our Lord says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So let me ask you a question again. You died last night. Had you obeyed the pure gospel of our Lord? Well, had you not obeyed the gospel, what is your state right now that you have been in eternity for 24 hours? If you didn't obey the gospel, what's your condition right now? Oh, I can hear some say, oh, preacher, wait a minute. I accept it. I intend to. I'm going to become a Christian. I know the truth. But wait a minute. This evening, we're not talking about what you intend to do, because we're operating under the supposition that you died last night. Do you know, my friend, that hell is going to be filled with people who had good intentions? Every cemetery across the country is filled with the bodies of people who had good intentions but never acted upon them. So I'm not talking about what you intend to do because you died last night. Did you obey the gospel? And if you did not obey the gospel prior to your death, the Bible says, here's what you have waiting for you in Hebrews 2 and verse 2. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of a reward. And you're going to fall into the hands of a living God, disobedient to his will. Oh, my friend, you died last night. Did you obey the gospel? But now, as we come to the conclusion of our lesson, here's the most beautiful part that you're going to understand. You didn't die last night. You didn't die last night, and you still have the blessed opportunity this evening to obey the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? You can obey the gospel tonight, and we're praying and hoping that you will this very night, before it's everlastingly too late. Will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this wonderful opportunity this evening to study your word together. We're thankful that we have learned what the gospel is and how to obey thy gospel so that we can be added by the Lord, Acts 2:47, to his church. And that's why it's his church, the church of Christ, and belongs to Christ. Father, we pray that those who are listening this evening that have never obeyed the gospel, that they will make that decision this very night so that they can receive remission of sins, be added to the Lord's church, the church of Christ, and have that hope of eternal life in heaven if they remain faithful. And Father, we pray for those that perhaps have fallen away that are members of the Lord's church, that tonight they will come back and be restored. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for prayers so that they can be once again in fellowship with God. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name and amen. God bless you.